There were some of us, some of you were here Thursday, or Wednesday, what was Christmas Eve? Thursday night. It's Christmas Eve, and I just really feel like God has spoken to me, and I believe that God has a word for us, and I'm going to expand just a little bit on what I believe God is saying to us, and to the world, to the body of Christ, and especially in this Christmas season. This is, like I said, today is the feast day of the Holy Family. And there's really a lot that you could just get out of that. Because God today is saying that, we're to look at the example of this Holy Family. And we've noticed, some of you have noticed that that things have changed up here, that the manger is no longer empty, but the baby Jesus is now here. And there's, again, like I said, there's a whole lot to say. And I wanted to look at things. And the way God has been showing me some things this season is through the eyes of Joseph. And of the Holy Family that we look at, of Jesus and Joseph and Mary, Joseph is probably the least looked at and the least examined of all. And there's really, in fact, there's not a lot about Joseph's life after the baby was born, after Jesus was born. There's not a whole lot in the scriptures that tell us about him and his life. But we've got to, there are some things that we can just glean from, that we can just get from the scriptures that we do have and say, wow, this was really significant, that God chose this man to be like a foster father to God. So what I wanted to say, there are just three main points, and I'm going to go over them in a little more depth. But one, that when God did what he did, when he had the birth of Jesus Christ come into the earth, what happened with Joseph and what happened even in the world was something that God had never done before. There were some things about what happened that were things that God had never done before. Second is that what God did, he did in his own perfect and exact timing. It was his perfect and exact timing. And then the last thing about it is that the intention of God was that whoever believed what happened would have their life profoundly changed forever. Profoundly changed forever. And this was especially first true to Joseph. But then even, I think, to the whole world and to us today. So looking at Joseph, just thinking first about him as a father. And, I know there are a lot of fathers in here. Some of you have been a father for a long time. Some of you recent. Some of you on a continuum of being a father. That it just never, it's like the never-ending story. It's the never-ending fatherhood. Isn't that right, Carl? Yeah. So, this was like, to think about this, at least what we can see in this time, and I know, look, if you want to, there are ways that people and traditions that teach about, Joseph's brothers, Jesus' brothers, and, whether they half-brothers or whether they were cousins. Forget all that. Just focusing in on this birth, this one birth, becoming a dad. It's always, I can imagine, whether even if you have been a father before, or if you've never been a father, the thought of having a baby and being the dad is really, really overwhelming. If you really take time to think about it, if you really care. Now, there's a difference between having a child, fathering a child biologically, and fathering a child. There's a big difference in being a father and knowing that that's what you're called to do. That's what you're supposed to do. So if you take that serious in being a father, it has got to be overwhelming. You're thinking, wow, you know, I've got this child. I'm going to have to be the one that teaches. I'm going to have to spend time. It's going to be sacrificial for me. It's going to take my loving. I'm going to have to love my wife through it. And all of the above, all those things, it has got to be overwhelming. Can any fathers say amen?
Amen.
Okay, now let's throw in this other little thing. While you're thinking, first of all, that your wife is pregnant, or your betrothed is pregnant, and you didn't get her pregnant, so you're already thinking, you know, okay, what's going on here? Then you're like thinking about those things, and that's what the scripture says in Matthew, that he was thinking about those things, and at that point in time, here comes an angel of God in his presence and says, Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David. Whoa. You know, I mean, there's something to that, because that angel, you know, that angel was a being from heaven. And so to proclaim that honorable title onto Joseph, I'm sure it got his attention quickly and immediately. And again, we don't have the entire description about this. I don't know exactly where it was or how it happened, but we know that that's what happened. He's thinking, and then in a dream, it says that this angel comes to him and says, Joseph, son of David. And the angel said, you know, not to fear, spoke to him. And one of four times that we know of that an angel spoke to him. And then he says, you're going to have God as a son. Well, there's already this thing about being responsible, right? There's already this thing about being fearful of not being a good father and being overwhelmed with something like fatherhood, which should be overwhelming. It should be, because it's one of the greatest responsibilities in the world. But then here he goes and goes, no, this isn't just going to be like a little ordinary kid. Your son is God. God. That's who's in her womb. Not like, you know, Buddha or something, but God, the one God, the Messiah that you have been waiting for. Joseph, being a devout Jew, knew exactly. He knew what about the Messiah and what that was supposed to mean. And you know, there's a song, and I know I love the song. You probably all know that song. You know, Mary, did you know? I love that song, but you know what? She did know. She did know. She did know. She didn't know every detail about what Jesus was going to do, but she knew he was God. She knew who her son was. Joseph knew it. Joseph knew. The angels told him, this is Jesus. He has come to save his people from their sins, the whole world. So I think the pressure went up. You know, a little bit. A little bit more responsibility. A little bit more of, oh, am I going to do this? You know, I got Mary. Lord, and you know, it's overwhelming. And this is what I want to say. When he did this, Joseph, now there were some things that happened that may have happened before. We don't have records of any dreams that Joseph had. He may have had them before, but it looked like this was the first time that he had the dream. But this was for sure, this was the first time that Joseph was confronted with the idea that his wife or his betrothed was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And then for sure, the first time that him or anyone else knew their child was God. So he was pretty overwhelmed. We think sometimes we get overwhelmed with life. And we do. Things get overwhelming. Things get, you know, when God speaks to us, God, the things that happen in our lives are pretty overwhelming. We get, you know, God shows us to take this and be here or be here or do this or put something in front of us and brings us revelation or gives us a direction in our life. You know, it's kind of, it can be overwhelming. How can I do that? Lord, not only how can I be a father, God, how am I going to be the father of God? This child's going to be probably a pretty good child, better than I am, because, you know, that's the thing, is like, and we get told this by the bishop when we become priests, and, you know, it's an overwhelming thing to become an ordained priest. And bishop always reminds us that, you know, you think you're not worthy of this. He goes, you're right. You're not. And you know, it's overwhelming that you're the person that comes and God has chosen you to bring encouragement, to bring faith, to bring love, to bring healing, to bring hope to all those that come to church every Sunday or whatever capacity you're in as ministry. It is overwhelming. And you know what? And you think, well, I'm not prepared for that. I don't know if I can do that. And I'm not worthy of that. And he's right. And Joseph must have felt the same thing, because Joseph was a sinner. He was a devout Jew, but he was a sinner. How do we know that? What was his first thought when he found out Mary was going to be pregnant or was pregnant? He was judging her. He was thinking about how he could go quietly away and divorce her. He was judging her. He didn't have mercy on her. He was judging her. Well, that's sinful. But isn't that what we do? I'm saying, like, it's sinful in the sense of that the thought was going, you know, gosh, I don't know if I want this woman. I don't want to be tied to this. It's like, you know, there was just a lot of sin in that. And he's going, you know, that was his first thought. But when the angel spoke to him, he got him back on track. Got him back on track. And that's how we are. The first thing we think about sometimes when things happen with us, the first time somebody doesn't do something we like or the way we think it's supposed to be or the right way, then the first thing we want to do is judge them. And sometimes we just want to go, you know, we don't care. I don't care about them. I'm going to protect myself in this thing. And that's selfishness. So, regardless of, you know, of all that, we know that Joseph was a sinful man because he was born under sin. He was born with original sin. So he was like you and me. He was, I'm sure, a good man, a devout man, but he had sinful thoughts. I'm sure he did sinful things. And here he was, and he had to be the father, the foster father, or what you will. He was going to be the one to raise Jesus, who was, yeah, fully human, but fully God. So this is the scenario that opens up with this baby. What I want to say to you is I believe that God wants to do something with you that he's never done before. Something, God wants to do things in our lives that he's never done before. Some things you think he's incapable of doing. You may think, or you're incapable, you may think you're incapable of doing. But God says, he can do it. God can do things that we cannot possibly conceive of. He can do it. And if God is speaking to you, if God is directing you, if God is challenging you, if God is revealing himself to you, open your arms to him and say, Lord, yes, I will. Yes, I'm yours. Yes, I'll obey. So that's the first thing, that this was something that had never happened before. And then, well, let me elaborate on that. Everything wasn't something that hadn't happened before, but certain parts of that were. Because God changed the way, when he came to Joseph that day, God changed the way that he would be known by humankind. Before, we were under the law. Joseph was a man under the law, a devout Jew. His way of knowing God was through the law, through sacrifices, through offerings. Now, God was saying, you're going to know me by faith, and the whole world can know me by faith, and I will be known not only by the Jews, but by the Gentiles. By faith, and God came in the flesh. In the flesh. As a human being. He had never done that before. He had revealed himself before, but he had never come as flesh. So those were things that were the first, that was the first time that God had ever done those things. Second is that God, what God was doing, he did in his perfect timing. And look what it says in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. It was the fullness of time. It was the perfect, exact time that God wanted to do it. And this is so key for us as we desire God to move into our lives, as we desire more than anything in the world, that God would speak in our lives, that God would direct our lives, that God would be the one that overwhelms and overtakes our life, that we understand that things happen in God's timing. This was the perfect timing. And waiting on God to do things in His time, in His way, is so extremely important as we desire to follow God. And I want to just say something about God's timing. Because this wasn't a convenient time for Joseph. Right? I mean, it really wasn't convenient. He wasn't, you know, it wasn't something he was welcoming at the time. Certainly wasn't convenient for him. And that's why the angel had to direct him in places to go and tell him to not fear about taking Mary as his wife. And then Matthew 2, talking about telling him to escape to Egypt and then returning back to Nazareth and then not doing that but going back to Galilee. God had to direct him. He wasn't ready for everything. It wasn't convenient for him. It wasn't his timing. He didn't decide it. God decided. And it's critically important for us to know when God is doing something in our life that he does it according to his time. Listen to this. When God's timing is complete, he not only has prepared you for his revelation or his change, he has also gotten you to a place where you know that whatever else he has planned for you, he can be trusted to lead and direct you in the future. In other words, it's just like going to school. I want to read that again. When God's timing is complete, when it's his timing, he's not only prepared you. Now, you may not think you're prepared, but he has prepared you enough to do what he wants to do. Okay? Not only has he prepared you, but he has gotten you to a place in your life where whatever else that he has planned for you in the future, in other words, he has got you to a place where everything may not happen at that moment. In other words, God not only prepared, not only had the perfect timing in preparing Joseph for becoming the father of this child, but God knew in his heart, or God knew that Joseph had gotten it in his heart, that he could trust God not only in having this baby, but in raising the child. And when God gets you to a certain place, every single thing you think should be in place may not be there. But if it's his timing, and if he's ready to do it, then your heart will be prepared to trust him to lead you and to guide you into your future. There won't be rebellion in your heart about it. There'll just be a place of peace, a place of rest, like Carl was saying, just a place of rest, knowing that, you know, if God can do this with me, in other words, if God can make me the father of this child, then God will prepare me. God has me in a place where I can be the father of him in his future. I can continue to father him, not just to have him. There's a lot of people that can just have a kid. It's easy to have a kid. Animals can have kids. Offspring. But fathering is different. And this is just, it's like anything in the world. If you're, you know, if you go to, say, West Point to be trained in the military, there comes this sudden day where there's this graduation, and you've been fully prepared to go to do what you've been trained to do. You're that day, they say, here's your diploma, your commission, your assignment, but all of that stuff you got to do is still ahead of you. Does that make any sense to you? That there's sometimes when God will just do something with us, but it is complete and it's in His time, and God finishes something in preparation, but there's still a future ahead. There's still something we got to do, and we've got to learn from just God getting us to where He got us to that we have to trust Him that He's going to fulfill that calling. And it's the same. And so when you're a soldier, you graduate from the academy, as an officer from West Point, you still got to go to war, and then things are going to come up. Things, different situations are going to be there. And, you know, and it's the same way with God. God may take us, may bring us into a new relationship or whatever it may be, but do we really trust Him to fulfill it? And this is what I think He did. He had done with Joseph. I think Joseph knew that, you know, he had some pretty strong confirmation from this angel coming to speak to him. So, God, it's a key point about getting in a place where you're hearing God and obeying God and doing what God has called you to do. A key point is, do you trust Him to finish it out? Do you trust Him to finish it out? And then the third point. His intention was that everyone, this is the intention of God, was that everyone who believed what happened, just believed it by faith, would be profoundly changed and impacted for the rest of their life. And again, this is another sign, this is another way when God does something in our life. That it's not just something He does just to change places or change situations. God wants to change our lives profoundly. He wants to impact our lives profoundly. And this is what happened. You think that happened with Joseph? You think that when he realized this, What was going on here? Do you think that might have changed his life forever? And those are the kind of things that when we allow God to move in our life, when we allow Him to have His ways in our life, He changes things forever, profoundly, forever. Listen to what Galatians says. Again, back in chapter 3 of Galatians. This is what happened because Joseph and Mary were called to, you know, for this miracle to happen in their lives, and for them at that point to become the family that raised Jesus. And I mean, there's all kind of things you could, you know, try to think about what must have happened as they were parenting this child. But what really happened that not just affected them and not just the people of that time, but 2,000 years later still profoundly impacts and changes anybody and everybody that will just believe. They'll just believe. Believe in Jesus. I mean, that's a simple thing, and there's a lot to that. But do you believe that He was born of a virgin? You believe this story? It's important that you believe this story, this part of Jesus. It's important that you believe. We say it whenever we say the creed. Born of a virgin. It's critical that we believe this. And so what happened with that? Galatians 3, you are all, now listen, you, now he's speaking to you. Not just Joseph, not just Mary, not just the Jews of that time, not just those that lived, in that period of time or a few years after or a few hundred years. But 2,000 years later, God says to you, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. What a blessing that is. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There was more than just the miracle of a birth there. There was the miracle of life coming to us that we can accept and embrace. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when God, when you're sitting in that period of time, and again, like Joseph was, when Joseph was just contemplating and thinking and, thinking about, what do I do? And this is a real predicament. And, just taking that time to think. And sometimes I think we just need to step back from those things that are overwhelming us, those things that are confusing us, and just to sit there and to wait. And maybe, and then, you get your Bible out, and God says to you, Tim Key, son of Abraham, you're highly favored, you're blessed. Whoever you are, you, Teresa, just letting the Lord say, handmaiden of the Lord, daughter of Abraham. Because that's who God says you are. That's who God says you are. No matter what anybody else says to you, no matter what anybody tries to tell you, no matter what kind of, lies that the devil tries to whisper in your ear, and the lies and the people say about you and the things that you think about yourself and all the failures that you've had, God says to you, child of Abraham, don't fear, because I can do things in your life that you have never seen before. I can do things that no man can do for you. I can do things for you that no university can do for you. I can do things in your life that will astound the world and astound anyone around you. You are a child of Abraham. That is a miraculous thing. That you're a child of faith, a child of God, a child of mercy, a child of grace, a child of truth, a child of love, a child of peace. That's what this whole thing is about. This whole season is about God's coming, like we spoke and sang in that song, that he's come down into the world. The light has come into the darkness. If your life is dark, if you don't know what's going on, if you're confused, don't worry. Sit still. Let him say to you, child of Abraham, I want to speak to you. I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up, because I got a message that I have come to save the world from their sins. Hallelujah. That's what this thing is about. It's not just about all the good, precious, wonderful things that we do. It's about God coming to us and saying, you know what? I showed you how I can create this little family, and it didn't look like, doesn't look like the families that they're supposed to look like in the Family Values Voter Guide. But I've made you my family. You are my family. It's a miracle that God did. Was Joseph changed? Have you been changed because this happened? Galatians 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. an heir of God. And that's what God is speaking to you. You're in despair. Things look hopeless. Things look like you just can't do it. It can't be done. Know this, child of Abraham, you are an heir, a child of God, an heir of the promise. If you really want God to change you in your life, be ready for Him to do things His way. His way, not your way. Be ready and allow God the freedom to do things in His timing. His timing, not your timing. And know this, that when God does it, He will profoundly impact and change your life forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.